Next on BYUSN, even though we don't know the starting quarterback yet, do we expect to see both Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzloff against Southern Illinois? Plus, what result on Saturday against the Salukis would make us feel like BYU's clearly better than they were last year, even after one game? From wide receiver to tight end, Keanu Hill, Kibo, preview Saturday's season opener and shares what we will see from the tight ends this season. And preseason All Big 12 selections, Kate Pryor and Mia Lee of number 16 women's volleyball tell us what to expect in year two in the Big 12. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, August 29th. We are one day closer. I am Jerem Jordan. It's great to have you. In case you missed it, Monday, Karch Karai, the GOAT in men's volleyball, played for Team USA, won a gold in 84, and leads the USA women's team in the Olympics the last couple of times. Got a gold in Tokyo, got a silver in Paris. He visited women's volleyball practice on Monday. That's pretty cool. This is like Michael Jordan showing up at the men's basketball practice. Pretty cool. Now, the connection with Karch with the team is, one, he's aware of what BYU does. He played at UCLA. That's the big rival with BYU. He played in the Smith Fieldhouse against the Cougs as a player, even before BYU was a NCAA team. And then he actually was coached by Heather and Sean Olmstead's dad, Rick, in high school, and they won a state title with Rick Olmstead as the head coach. In fact, Sean Olmstead has a picture of him as a baby and Karch Karai holding him. And so Karch has known the Olmsteads forever. He has employed Heather as the U21 coach the last couple of years. She did that this summer. They won gold in the Norseca Championships, and she's been involved with the USA Collegiate National Team, Karch running the women's program. Pretty cool to see Karch Karai at women's volleyball practice earlier this week. And again, we'll talk to women's volleyball players Kate Pryor and Mia Lee coming up. Their season starts tomorrow on ESPN+. They play two games. Southeastern Louisiana and Fairfield both won their conference championships. I'll be on the call on those. That'll be a lot of fun. Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
BYU and Southern Illinois, Saturday night.
Everybody in that locker room knows who the starting quarterback will be.
But I'd love to see BYU utterly dominate. I'd love to see them come out in mid-season form.
We're expecting them to come out hungry.
Well, we'll just put it all together and have some fun.
Welcome to What's Trending, what's presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. And Jerem, we were talking about yesterday, this is the prime time because there is so much happening. Now it's just a matter of how we fit it all in before BYU kicks off the season against Southern Illinois, which, by the way, is how many days away?
Countdown to the Salukis.
2 days away.
Yep.
2 days away.
Almost there, dude. The day before the day.
Well, BYU is running short on practice time, and we're going to get to eventually BYU having a starting quarterback. Like, it has to happen. The latest we will find out as soon as somebody takes the field. But yesterday after practice, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick spoke to the media and was asked several questions about the quarterback situation, namely doubling down on not naming that starter, if BYU will use two quarterbacks, and if he will use this game specifically to try and solidify who the starter moving forward is.
We're not going to say what we're doing, again, because I want Southern Illinois to have to prepare for both guys. I'm not going to say that either, because, I don't want to give away any competitive advantages. We have a clear-cut starter right now, yeah.
Okay, clear-cut starter.
I think it's going to be Jake Retzloff. We'll see.
Yes,
we
both think it's going to be Jake. If it's not, we'll be shocked, but who knows?
It's all good.
Maybe this is the greatest coup ever by BYU football.
I'd be happy with either one. I'm not overly excitable about this guy or that guy.
Okay. So,
well,
again,
both of them,
we think that it will be Jake for what it's worth. This is speculation. Nothing certainly has been announced. But do you expect both to play in some capacity against Southern Illinois?
I'd be shocked if both don't take a snap. We're talking about at least one snap. Yes, I think both will take a snap. I think if it's a situational thing, like you've mentioned, perhaps, or just hopefully BYU's up by enough to where it's good. You want to bring in Gary and see what he can do. Here's the thing, though. Aaron Roderick historically doesn't want to show a ton in game one.
Sure.
He just doesn't, because he wants to reveal the playbook a little bit as he goes. He doesn't want Kansas State to be like, we know everything BYU's running, right, by game four. So you need to win the game. But last year, BYU was up 14-0, and he just pulled off the pedal. Let's just keep it simple. Let's not show much. He said that out loud. So I don't expect BYU to be super dynamic in the fourth quarter if they're up by 21 plus. But I wish they would, man. I wish they just turned on the NOS and just pedaled down and just, let's see BYU put up a 50 or 60 spot. And then all of a sudden, BYU fans feel like, okay, is this the offense we were hoping for? And again, FCS team, good FCS team at that. But you want to see that things are different because that's what we've been told and that's what we believe, that the offense will be significantly better. Are they going to be like top 25? I don't know that we're saying that. We're just saying they will be very improved.
I hope that BYU is in a situation where they can build an early first half lead. But I also kind of want to see if they're going to play both quarterbacks, Gary Bohannon and or Jake Retzlaff, take meaningful snaps. I would like to see both take meaningful snaps. However,
so before the fourth, that's what that means.
Sure. So hypothetically, we'll talk more about some hypothetical situations in just a moment. Let's say BYU is up 24-7 at halftime, and then they score a touchdown. They're up 31-7 midway through the third quarter. At that point, whoever is not the starter, I would like to see them go in. Like, the game is still in question. It's run. It's gone well for BYU, but it's still enough in question that those are meaningful snaps. Like, you need to go score a little bit more. You need to do some important things, and there's some pressure on. The lights are a little brighter. It's LaBelle Edwards Stadium on a Saturday night.
The margin needs to be bigger in this situation.
Yeah. Yes. So I hope that both can take meaningful snaps. Doesn't matter. Whoever does not start the game, I hope they are in by middle part of the third quarter, and they're doing some things with some pressure instituted by the situation of the game.
I hope there are zero meaningful snaps in the fourth quarter. BYU better have this game out of hand.
I would love to see.
If it's meaningful. Last year was all meaningful. It was 14-0.
Give me McKay Hillstead and Trayson Borgay in the fourth quarter, for crying out loud, if it's that out of hand.
I personally don't want to see them at all.
None?
Because I want to see the top two. Also, it's going to be, because there's not a like defined guy out loud publicly, it's going to get weird if someone throws a couple of picks or it's a close game.
Yes.
The boo birds suddenly come out. All of a sudden, there's pressure to bring in that other guy. I don't want that to happen in this game. But undoubtedly, at some point, there'll be a situation that the fans react to, knowing there's a second capable guy sitting there if the first guy doesn't do that. That's the awkwardness of having two good players where you're like, well, because the most popular guy on campus is the backup quarterback.
So who is the most – we just don't know who the most popular guy is because we don't know who the backup is.
Well, I guess right now that would be Kevin Young. He feels like the most popular guy.
We know that McKay Hillstead and Trayson Borgay are backups.
They're ready.
So their popularity is up for the time being.
Right. That wasn't said out loud either, who won that job for the third string. I was intrigued by that. So we'll see, man. I'm interested. I'm excited. I'm intrigued. All of the above for Saturday. And
it
creates more intrigue than the regular opener against an FCS team would.
I'm trying to remember, in the Satake era, has there been more mystery about any of his teams? Intrigue, mystery, just straight up, I don't know what to expect type feeling. Maybe after the 4-9 season in 2018. That's the only other one I can really compare it to. Like, I have no idea. If they were 4-9 last year, what are they going to be in 2018?
21 was interesting to me, too, because it was, okay, we just lost 5 draft picks. We have a new quarterback. We've seen Jaren play. He's good, but, like, how good is he?
But you still had Tyler Allgeier, and you still had the Nakua brothers.
True. But it was, like, new quarterback, new left tackle.
Sure.
No Kyrish Tonga. Like, you're playing a P5 team in an NFL stadium. Like, what's going to happen? And then BYU beat Arizona. It's like, okay, cool. Yep. And then they just started. And then they beat Arizona State. They beat Utah. It's like, whoa!
Point being, there have been a few seasons where we've had, like, big questions. This is certainly one.
2017 was big post-2016 of, like, no Taysom, no Jamal, what now?
We found out in a bad way that things were not going well.
Oh, we missed.
This was not a great surprise.
We missed those guys.
That is for sure. But, yeah, I expect to see both. And you touched on it, but even if it's situationally, even if Gary Bohannon comes in to just put the defense on their heels in the red zone and they switch things up and BYU scores a touchdown.
I don't want to see that in this game, by the way.
You don't want to see them use that option.
If you're going to do that.
You don't want to show that.
Against SMU.
Okay.
Save it. You don't need to use the specials too much in this game.
Fair enough.
BYU radio analyst Hans Olsen, friend of the program, tweeted this yesterday ahead of Saturday's season opener. BYU will beat Southern Illinois by 21-plus points. Saluki's lost. Then he names a big list of, like, number one quarterback Nick Baker, number one running back Roe Elliott, number two running back Justin Strong, and so on and so forth. Wide receivers, tacklers, sacks, INTs. Like, top guys from last year's team. Do you agree with Hans?
I mean, he's very confident that BYU is going to go 21-plus. The line is 14.5 right now. I'm probably somewhere around 18 or 19. Like, I could see this game being 35-17 or a 31-13.
If it's a backdoor cover, maybe I'd be okay with that. But I need 24.
Yeah,
or 28,
I'm leaving
man,
room
plus.
for the backdoor cover potentially, where BYU could be up 38-14 in the fourth
and
quarter.
Put in the threes, and they may have the ones in still.
Sure, like, and then Southern Illinois scores a garbage touchdown with 30 seconds to go, and it's 38-21. But it wasn't as close as the final score would indicate.
Because BYU, Kalani Stocke has way more sportsmanship than I would. Like, he's a nicer guy than I am. I would be like, go down and score. And obviously, those guys are trying, but they're just running the ball, right? There's no real intermediate to deep passes. There's no play action. It's all, like, pretty simple runs to try and just, hey, we've got this game. We're good. But, like, this offense needs to, like, feel that all the way through the game. This fan base needs to see that, right?
Jeremy, so, I want BYU to make a statement. To make a statement.
Tomorrow, let's discuss what statement that should be.
Make a statement. Yeah, like, we'll get into the specifics tomorrow.
Like, what questions you're answering? What statements are you making after one game?
21-plus, I don't even know that 21-plus would qualify as a statement.
No.
I think it's got to be, like, 28-plus to make fans feel like, okay.
And it'd only be fans. Nationally, people aren't going to watch this game that much. It's FCS. It's ESPN+. Like, yes, BYU fans will. Big 12 fans might.
Sure.
But, like, the nation's just going to look at the score.
And they might
BYU 40. You got to put up 50.
Sure, BYU 40, Southern Illinois 21.
And then you go, like, okay. They give up 21? That would be the reaction.
I mean, if it's late touchdown, because people just see
Utah,
the score.
Southern Utah. If you heard 50-21, you'd be like, the Utes give up 21? You know what I mean? Like, no. Come on.
Fascination, that is for sure. There's just so much intrigue and mystery about this. I hope Hans is right. I hope he is.
I hope he's wrong. I hope it's 42.
I hope it's 40.
Not 21.
31 plus, 41
plus? 21 plus is 42.
Woo. Speaking of BYU fans, they want to know if BYU is going to be better than they were a year ago. So we're going to show you some made-up box scores for Saturday's game against Southern Illinois.
Nick Saban and me love hypotheticals.
And for each one, we will answer the following question. Would this result, hypothetically speaking, show you that BYU is clearly better than they were last year as a team?
Oh, boy.
So.
Off of one game.
Roll out hypothetical number one.
30-3.
30-3. 27-point win.
Not enough points.
Balanced effort, passing the ball, rushing the ball. BYU.
Third downs were sub-50.
Wins the turnover 40-ish. Battle 3-1.
Only gave up 5 first downs. Defense played well in this situation, okay?
This to me feels like
+2 turnover. I like that.
This to me feels like something we could see if Aaron Roderick doesn't want to show all of his cards and the game is clearly in hand and you put a bunch of reserves in late. This could be a realistic scenario.
Well done by Colton Potter, our producer. It's sub 400 yards again. BYU did not. It's 399. BYU did not get to 400 last year in a single game. Right?
Oh, diabolical game. Colton Potter. Diabolical.
Frankly, I want more points. Winning by 27 is awesome, but I do want more points.
As long as BYU gets to 30, I'm good. Especially if they win by 27. If they cover, Jeremy, the line opened at 19.
But it's about what
this
are you going to do against
clear cover.
If you're only scoring 30 against Southern Illinois, you're going to have to shoot out SMU maybe.
When did you take out your starters, though? What if it was 27-0 at halftime? And then
it needs to be 41.
But you put in a bunch of risks because you just don't want to show a ton. You're saving
that,
it
that,
all for
that
SMU.
That would be what BYU could do.
And
but
it feels
I
like Aaron Roderick might
more.
Do that. I want it all. You want 40.
I want 40. All right, 40. Let's see another one.
I'm okay with this. I'm okay.
I'm fine with it.
Because you only gave up 3. And you win by 27.
The standards. It's an FCS team. You got to score 40 plus.
Number 11, though. We've been talking about this.
This scores 40
not
plus.
Your typical FCS.
They lost a lot. Okay. All right, here we go.
All right, okay, next one. Okay, this is what you this
That's
is what
better.
You're talking
what,
about.
You got 438 yards. You didn't get enough takeaways though. You only got one. You were even in margin.
Almost doubled them up in first downs.
Third downs again. You played good defensively. That'd be acceptable. I'd accept this.
Is a third down percentage in the high 40s good enough?
Oh yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah, 45%. I'm good.
So this is what you are looking for.
Yes.
Like, this is
an ideal
scenario right here.
The realistic, perfect box score. Although, rushing yards pretty low. I actually want to see BYU run for 200.
Okay, you want more balance. So you'd like to see,
well,
like,
I just want 200 rushing yards, and then I would take 200 passing yards, which is not a huge
okay.
So I would love 500 yards of offense. Like, yeah, okay.
Everybody would. But if they BYU went 221 passing and 201 rushing, you'd be like, yes.
Little low on the passing, but good enough rushing.
Okay. You
got to rush for a season high here.
Honestly, it's
like,
hard,
this will
it's
be
hard
the most
to ask for more than this. When the line is 14 and it opened at 19, you win by 34 and only give up 7 and put up 40-plus.
I can be greedy. BYU's a P4 against an FCS at home.
Okay.
Okay, next one.
This is fun. Let's do the next one.
Next one. Possible outcomes, like they've scoured the multiverse.
Oh,
not good
man.
Enough. No,
you don't cover.
You give up 17.
But you have clearly balanced offense.
I don't care about balance. I just want greatness.
This is way too close.
No, third downs were terrible. You gave up 13 first downs.
And how is this
they
game
score a
in the fourth
off
quarter?
Of like a pick six or something?
Does BYU need a late touchdown to like win by 14? What if it's 24-17 in the fourth quarter?
No, this would be terrible.
Right?
No.
I can't do that. Emotionally, Earth, BYU fans will lose it.
Earth 417. We should have which multiversal Earth this is from. They played it, and this is what happened. Earth 616 is the one we're on. But, yeah, no, not good enough.
This is not disrespecting the opponent in any way.
No, they're awesome. Don't get me wrong. But BYU's P4 at home. You gotta win.
All you've heard all offseason long is about how bad you're going to be. BYU needs to make a statement.
Yes.
They need to show that they are better.
Yes, and we believe this BYU team is better than the Northern Illinois and Northwestern teams that Southern Illinois beat the last
in
two years.
In recent years, yeah. Yes.
They're one of two FCS teams to win an FBS game in the last 2 years.
31-17.
Okay, here we go. Last one.
Okay, fine. This is the fourth and final.
Yes,
oh,
that's
baby.
That's the best one.
This is
you pass for 300-plus.
Dream scenario, right?
Plus four in takeaways. They don't get Slugies don't get a third down. You get a ton of first downs because you're running for 202. You only give up 7. Maybe it's late. It's when, I don't care when the 7 is. 7 allowed is perfect. 55. That would be amazing.
This is not going to happen.
You don't think so?
I don't think 55-7 is going to happen.
I think
Southern Illinois is too disciplined and too well coached. They'll play the time of possession game, dude. Like they're
going to be behind. They won't be able to.
You can only
do that if it's even or ahead. If you're behind, you can't really.
If they're trying to save some face and like not get blown out, and
I don't
get
know that they will. They've beaten teams like they've been here.
I don't think that scenario would happen. A 41-7, I can see. 55-7 feels way too ambitious for me.
Cougar stats weighing in 16 seconds ago. Only twice has BYU scored fewer than 30 points against an FCS team. It was Portland State 20 in 2017, 30 in 2018.
It's because of the Portland State and Sam Houston scenarios twice in the last 7 years where BYU didn't look good in their first game against a much lower tier opponent that people are hesitant to want to go there. Myself included. Like, I would love for BYU to show up and put up a 50 spot.
I want a 70.
You want Wagner?
Wagner 2015. Okay. Next topic, not a great one, which stinks. Jaren Hall shockingly waived by the Vikings this morning. He had made the 53, Spence.
What in the world?
And then the Vikings signed veteran NFL quarterback and former BYU opponent at Boise State, Brett Rypien. What's next for Jaren?
Maybe the practice squad in Minnesota?
Perhaps.
If he clears waivers? I can't imagine that if he clears waivers, the Vikings wouldn't be like, hey,
stay here.
We like you. We drafted you. You looked great in the preseason, especially in your last game. You're familiar with the system. We want you to stick around. And then maybe this is just an experiment with Brett Rypien. Or maybe the Vikings are going to go shop Nick Mullins and see if they can get something for him. This could be an experiment by bringing another quarterback just to allow them to use one of their quarterbacks as trade bait or just to get Rypien in the system, see if it works. If it doesn't, then it's like, all right, hey, we tried it. We're going to cut you. And Jaren, we're going to elevate you again from the practice squad, and you're back on the 53 as our third quarterback. I expect him to show up on the practice squad. Frankly, I would love for him to get picked up by somebody else.
Seahawks.
Just to say, like, hey.
Seahawks be the third Jaren, for the Jaren Seahawks.
Jaren Hall looked great. He put out some great film in the preseason.
Yep.
There are some quarterback rooms out there that need guys like the Seahawks.
He'd be the third string because they brought in Sam Howell as the backup, and they kind of ran with him hard there.
But you need some guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yes.
So I
would love for him to end up on another roster. I expect him to end up on the Vikings practice squad.
Yeah. Skull no more, question mark?
It's tough. It's shocking news. Like
it was surprising this morning.
What?
Yeah.
All right, 16th-ranked BYU women's soccer, as we shift our attention to a big game last night. Lost 1-0 at number 3 UCLA. Gave up a fifth-minute goal, but then played the Bruins and a top-3 team at that to a draw the rest of the way. What do you think about the result in terms of the scale of disappointment to encouraged?
I'm actually encouraged because this defense has not given up 2 goals in a game quite yet, Spence. Remember, this is a young team that lost 11 seniors, 9 starters. They played UCLA tough the rest of the game. Once the offense comes, look out. And now you have a tough game against Utah State Saturday, by the way, who's ranked 19th, first ranking ever. 4-0, they beat Utah 2-0 last night. Have not given up a goal yet, Utah State, in 4 games. Beat Texas Tech and Utah. So that's a huge game Saturday. Looking forward to that one, too. I'm encouraged, though. I'm encouraged because it's a young BYU team that played number 3 UCLA very tough.
They have chosen to compete and try and win in a different way. This is not anything close to last year's team where it's like, we're going to score 4 goals a game.
We're going to rip off a million shots. They did outshoot UCLA in the second half, by the way.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So that looked a little bit like the BYU of
old. I'm encouraged, bro. I'm encouraged.
But I expect BYU to win a lot of close games this year. Like, the games that they win, I think they'll be 2-1, 1-0.
Defense keeps you in the game, which is great.
And they have gone hard into that game plan.
Yep.
It's the new way that they have to win. So
Saturday, a huge game. First-ranked matchup between BYU and Utah State ever.
Hey,
women's soccer.
A 1-0 win over a top-20 team in Utah State would be fantastic. Jen Rockwood will figure it out. She's done it for 3 decades.
Literally 30 years. This is her 30th season.
Our question of the day, as we go back to BYU football, Cougars just 2 days away from their season opener against Southern Illinois. Which result against the T-Birds would make you feel like BYU is clearly a better team than they were
Salukis.
Last year? Sorry, the Salukis, yes. At Jimmy Chesh.
I wouldn't mind Southern Utah either.
All right. At Jimmy Chesh on X says, winning by at least 4 touchdowns. Portland State and Sam Houston results were very indicative of who the team actually was. Point I made earlier in the summer.
Yep.
Anything less than a 28-point victory is not a good sign.
It's 28
enough. So you're of the opinion 28 might not be enough.
If you want to make a statement, it's got to be more. We'll discuss tomorrow.
Yes, it is. It's a fun conversation. Lines at 14.5.
We're refusing to believe Vegas. Like, we really are. Tune in to BYU Sports Nation Game Day Saturday. We'll get you ready for BYU in Southern Illinois. 6 Eastern time on BYU TV, BYU Sports Nation Game Day.
I need to clarify. Our friends at Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Outer Group serving Utah since 1968, are the sponsors of What's Trending, so shout out to them. Up next, I go one-on-one with BYU tight end Keanu Hill about his transformation into becoming BYU's number one tight end and what he guarantees BYU fans will see on the field from the Cougars on Saturday night. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
He's tight end one.
Keanu Hill to Hill for a touchdown.
So he's already has the edge.
Now you have a guy with, you know, receiver-like qualities.
He will probably be one of the most impactful players on the field this next year.
I hope that rings true.
It will, I promise you.
He's number one. We hope he's the next great number one in the tight end room for BYU football. Yesterday, I had a chance to speak with the great Keanu Hill on topic, naturally, how this week of practice has been different than what the Cougars were doing in fall camp and what he guarantees BYU fans can expect to see when it comes to style of play on Saturday night. My one-on-one with Keanu Hill on BYU Sports Nation.
Keanu, game day approaches and the excitement builds. How would you sum up your emotions as you get closer to kicking off what you hope is an outstanding final campaign at BYU?
Man, this is exciting, man. Just seeing everybody fly around, not just me as a senior, but like just seeing all the boys ready to play some football, man. I think last weekend, just watching football, we were all anxious to get on the field this week, so it's going to be exciting.
What do you think is the most important lesson or thing that you've learned about this team through fall camp and into game week preparation specifically?
Just the preparation and the brotherhood that we have here. I think even that we're going against each other, competing against each other every day, it just feels like we're brothers. Even like after we have things that we could fix and all that stuff, but like I just feel like the brotherly and the preparation.
How has your role shifted now that you've been fully integrated as a tight end and it's almost game time?
I think my big role is just helping out the tight ends with this running routes, I feel like. I feel like that's my biggest role right now, just being a leader, seeing how the other tight ends can perfect their routes or have a better release and stuff like that. I feel like just having that knowledge is really, really, really beneficial.
Everybody wants to know, because it's BYU and there's a great history and legacy of tight ends at this university and in this football program, how much the tight ends are going to be used in the pass game. Keanu, so can you tell us at least a little bit of what's going to happen?
I'm not going to elaborate too much on it, but just know it's going to be a lot of fun at that tight end position, especially in that room, man. We got a lot of players like Ethan Erickson, Ryan Swanson, Tava, all them boys ready to play and get in there.
Tava comes out and he's listed as second on the depth chart. A lot of BYU fans don't know as much about him as they know about a guy like you, or even Reiner, who got a lot of attention in spring ball. So what kind of player is Matava Tase?
Matava Tase, man. Fun thing, coming into that room, if anything, he's been a really big help for me. Really, really vocal leader, especially when it comes to the run game, you know, knowing fronts and all that stuff. Outside of football, man, that boy's a goofball, man. He just, you know, he's a father. He's very loving. He's very kind and stuff. But the one thing about Tava, man, he's a goofball, man. I really love Tava a lot, man. It's like my brother right there, for real.
Big personality, big body, big blocker. How has your run blocking blossomed and developed?
It's coming along very great, man. Even though I'm only like a couple months into the position, man, I feel like it's coming along very great, just because I was a great blocker at receiver, and I feel like it's just now transitioning into the trenches, having more technique, a lower pad level. So it's coming along really great.
Walk me through a scenario where you feel like, I mean, you're licking your chops based on what the defense is doing, okay? So who's lined up across from you and you're like, throw me the ball?
Honestly, anybody, man. But if anything, most likely linebackers and safeties, man. That's when I feel like I have the best chance of getting the ball and the best chance to showcase my talent. So,
I know a lot of attention has been paid to the quarterback competition, and you're keeping it secret. You're holding it close to the vest. What's the most challenging part about that as you try and wait to reveal on game day who that is going to be?
I feel like for me, man, it's not really a challenge. I just feel like if I come in there and do my 111, it's going to make everybody look good, so.
Simple enough. Okay, Keanu Hill is with us on BYU Sports Nation. What will we see from the BYU offense that is clearly different from last year when you look at this season?
Just explosiveness. I feel like, especially coming into this season, man, with A-Rod just bringing in some new pieces like Kevin Gilbride, Coach Woods, man, I feel like it's going to be very explosive. I feel like I said, this O-line's been doing a lot of good this offseason, and they're for sure going to make some noise coming into the season.
What are you seeing the offensive line do specifically that makes you think, okay, yeah, clearly they're advancing and they're getting better?
Just their intensity, the way they're getting calls out faster, the way they're when things adjust, how we adjust to it, and I just feel like we pick up really quick on that. So I feel like that's one thing for sure, is that we were quick to adjust and we're quick to get calls out when we need to.
I know you're very close with your dad. We love Lloyd. Great man. He's a devout watcher of BYU Sports Station, so he's stoked that you're, I'm sure that you're here. But what's the best bit of advice he's given to you as you transition from wide receiver to tight end?
Just don't be complacent. You know, I just feel like for him, like, he's always been that guy to always look for things to fix, not always be like, oh, good job here, good job here. He's always been like always looking for things to fix, always try to find ways you could get better. Don't always be complacent on what good you did or what not. Always try to be great is what he always gave me. So,
how's game preparation going for Southern Illinois? Walk us through your typical day as you prepare for the Salukis.
Just mainly just watching a lot of film on their defense, man. They're very competitive. They fly around a lot. They do a lot of moves, especially up front, man. But like I said, we're coming in just watching film, just doing what we need to do to execute and to come in and play great.
What do they do as far as blitz schemes and packages? And how do they set up on defense that maybe causes you a little bit of concern?
I don't think anything's really a concern. I feel like we watch a lot of film and we kind of expect and see what's going to come for us. But like I said, I think if anything, like pressure-wise, I think they bring a lot of chops, a lot of field pressure, a lot of boundary pressure. So we just got to work and pick up on those, I feel like. And like I said, they have a lot of linebackers that fly around, and they have two safeties that's coming back that can fly around too, come down and hit. So we got to be ready for those.
Keanu Hill on BYU Sports Nation. What are you looking forward to the most about playing in Lavelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday night?
The Rock, man. I think that's the most important thing, man. I feel like just coming in there, seeing all those people, just getting loud, especially for us, especially coming in to win, man. I feel like this brings a lot of motivation to us. So for sure, we're going to need y'all to be loud this Saturday.
How do you personally handle what have been put out there in the media as low expectations for BYU football? How do you approach that?
I just don't – just cancel out the outside noise, man. I just feel like what we have going on here stays from within here, and with any outside noise, we just let it be death ear, and we go on and do what we know we could do. So,
As far as game week preparation goes, how has this week been different? I know film study is clearly involved, but aside from film study, how has this week been different than what you were doing all the way through fall camp?
I just feel like the intensity, man. Just even though we're not going against like our number one defense and stuff, we're going against scouts and stuff. Just having that same intensity, like we are going playing the game right now. I feel like that's the biggest emphasis that we've been doing, especially this week.
Favorite player to run a route against on your team?
On my team, I would have to say. There's a lot of people, but I have to say Talon Alford. He low-key kind of gives me – he's been giving me a little hard time from here and there. Even though he knows our plays and stuff, he still gives me a little hard time. So,
Talon – you tell me Talon talks trash sometimes?
He don't talk trash, but he does have some good skills. I give him that for sure. So,
okay, who does talk trash on defense?
Trey Alexander, man, that's my boy, man. Even though he's from Atlanta and stuff, he likes to talk, especially, man. So that's my boy Trey.
Okay, we'll finish with this. What can you guarantee BYU fans will see if they come to watch BYU football play in the stadium or on TV on Saturday night?
Just an explosive offense, explosive team, and people that's ready to play football and ready to fly around.
Let's go. Keanu Hill, he said it best. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Safe to say we expect big things from Keanu.
I love Keanu.
And he said, expect an explosive offense. That's not something that we saw from BYU really hardly at all last season.
You have to be able to run the ball to play action. And you look at the tight ends that BYU has in the depth chart. So Keanu's number one, and then it's an or among three guys, Mata'ava, Taiese, Ethan Erickson, and Reiner Swanson. Taiese and Erickson combined for 26 catches, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns. Career Reiner Swanson's a freshman. So not a lot of experience per se behind them. A lot of like game reps from Taiese and Erickson, but like catching the ball, getting down the field. So I'm excited to see these guys get a chance because they are capable. Taiese, typically the better blocking back, kind of an H that comes in, almost a fullback sometimes. Erickson has shown some real athleticism in practice, had a touchdown catch against ECU in 22.
Yeah, way back.
Excited about Reiner Swanson, obviously. So I'm excited for this group, man.
I wonder what the reps will be, how they will be split. Yeah.
Keanu will be on the field a lot.
And how many sets will BYU have two tight ends on the field? I imagine.
I think a lot. Quite a bit. I think we'll see some 13 personnel sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
We'll see.
All right.
Okay. Join Jason Shepard, Gregor Bell, Hans Olsen, Mitchell Juergens as BYU prepares for Southern Illinois and plays the game on BYU Radio. Pregame 6 Eastern, game at 8 Eastern. They go wire to wire, man. Pregame, game, postgame. Check it out Saturday night.
After the break, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick on why he believes the BYU offense will indeed be improved this season. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. We are looking back on Cougar football history as we celebrate 100 seasons of BYU football, some of the best wins, moments, and plays. And specifically, we are looking at today's date.
Let's go. August 29th, 1985. You and I were in diapers, fresh off of winning the 1984 National Championship. BYU opened the year at Boston College in Giant Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, as the number 10 team in the country. The disrespect, Spencer. You win the Natty, you're number 10.
Come on. BYU entered the game, yeah, as the 10th ranked team in the country, had won 24 straight games, dating back to week 2 of 1983. Robbie Bosco passed for 508 yards, 3 touchdowns, setting a Giant Stadium record at the time for passing yards, both college and NFL quarterbacks. 241 receiving yards from Glenn Kozlowski, who had a touchdown. Mark Bellini had 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. BYU's offense sent a message. They made a statement.
That was awesome. BYU's defense caused 5 turnovers because guess what? The offense turned it over 6 times. This is the 80s. 25-game win streak. That was a record for BYU. They lost the next week. I don't know that BYU's ever going to win 25 games in a row again. That was an incredible run. No one does it in college football really anyway, unless you're named Georgia. Boise State used to, right? But, hey, that was awesome, man.
83-85 overall, even if you include the losses. I mean, we're talking about an 11-win season, a 13-win season, and a 10-win season.
Awesome.
That's 30. They went 34-4 in 3 years.
BYU eclipsed that in the 4 years of 06 to 09. It was the best 4-year run for BYU because they had 41 wins in 4 years.
My goodness.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. All right, on to today's headlines.
We're 2 days away from BYU football season opener against Southern Illinois. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick reiterated yesterday that BYU will wait to show who the starting quarterback will be, and that guy is the guy.
I want to, be cautious with how much praise I give them until we go do it in a real game. But I see an improvement from where we were at this point a year ago. Just again, in terms of, I keep saying the word continuity. We have returning players now that know this offense and that have been through a Big 12 season running this system.
Watch and listen to BYU TV and BYU Radio pregame coming up Saturday night at 6 Eastern time.
He's buying the core principle. I think we are too. Quarterback Jaren Hall, shockingly waived by the Minnesota Vikings.
Boo.
As a result of Minnesota signing veteran quarterback Brett Rypien. Now we wait and see if Hall clears waivers and what's next for him in his NFL career. And linebacker Max Tooley has signed with the Houston Texans practice squad. He is the lone Cougar to sign with the practice squad thus far. Good luck to Jaren. Obviously, as maybe he ends up in Minnesota on their practice squad once again.
Hey, Seahawks, let's go. Grab them. Big 12 football season gets underway tonight. Four Big 12 teams play their season openers. New Hampshire at UCF, Lindenwood at Kansas, North Dakota State at Colorado. A lot of people interested in that one. And Southern Utah at Utah.
16th-ranked BYU women's soccer suffered their first loss of the season at number 3 UCLA 1-0 last night. BYU allowed a goal in the 6th minute. Lynette Hernandez set a career high with 8 saves. BYU drops to 1 win, 1 loss, 2 ties on the season through 4 played, and take on number 19 and unbeaten Utah State Saturday night, Southfield.
BYU men's tennis seniors Wally Thain and Zach Fuchs are ranked number 11, doubles team in the ITA preseason national ranking.
BYU track and field representing at the U20 World Championships. Of note, Alyssa Keller in the javelin, Carter Cutting in the 1500 meters, and Wyatt Houghton in the steeplechase all qualified yesterday for the finals in their respective events.
Nice.
All finals will be held tomorrow or Saturday.
Daniel Schneeman went 1-for-4 for the Guardians last night in a 7-5 win over the Royals. Schneeman has now hit safely in 6 of his last 7 games.
Red hot Daniel Schneeman, let's go. And the Utah Warriors playing professional rugby picked up 2 players from BYU in the Major League Rugby draft, Tielu Sagala with the 16th pick and Cole Semu with the 28th pick.
Winger and a center, let's go.
Hey, that's
hoping to call some games of those guys.
Prominence
next year.
To you.
Yeah,
let's
I like
go.
That.
Some BYU connections.
Hey, you know I'll throw out BYU on those broadcasts. Completely biased. Yeah.
Up next, let's talk a little BYU women's volleyball. A dynamic duo, Kate Pryor and Nia Lee in the house. Just one day away from the start of their season. Big weekend in Provo. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Look at Scott Sterling, so many fools.
Who's going to score points? Who's going to do this pass? All these questions we have heading into season every year. Here's team. We've got some experience. We've got some older players mixed with getting really excited about what's the possibilities for this group.
Everything going BYU's way right now.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We moved over to the Cougar Council Room and welcome in a dynamic duo from BYU Women's Volleyball. They are Kate Pryor and Mia Lee. Welcome to the show.
What's up, ladies? How are we doing?
Thank you.
Good, how are you?
Good.
Got that drip? Ready to go?
Yep. What can you say?
Is life good right now when it's like volleyball and don't have to go to class quite yet?
It is. It's really good.
next Wednesday, I think, is the beginning of classes.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Labor Day weekend. Hopefully win some matches. Get ready for next week.
Yes.
Chilling.
Of course, yeah.
At the beginning of every season, there are understandably some nerves and some question marks, and you just want to see what your team is capable of when you actually start playing games that count in the standings. So, Mia, what are your emotions like as you open up the season at BYU and you try and make a statement once again as you enter year 2 of Big 12 play?
Yeah, of course. Just excitement. I honestly can't wait to start the season. I'm so excited just to be here again and to be with all the fans and be with my teammates because we put in so much work in this offseason, and I think that's going to really pay off, and I'm excited to see that.
Mia, you're fun to watch in the middle. You're stuffing balls. You're swinging high. Tell everybody how high you can touch because you can jump.
Oh, yeah. I touch 10-11.
Woo! 10-11. Okay. She's a high flyer. It's awesome. Yeah.
You dunk a basketball often?
Can't hold the basketball, but I can dunk a volleyball. So.
That's awesome.
Hey, volleyball's that's what's up.
Exactly.
That's great. Okay, let's talk about you. Junior year now, you've been in the system a few years. What are you looking forward to the most now that you're an upperclassman and one of the leaders here?
Yeah, I'm so excited to start competing again. I feel like we got a great team. I'm so excited to show off our skills and see what we can do.
What's the biggest difference from between this team this year and what BYU was fielding last year, putting on the floor last year?
Yeah, so this year, obviously, we don't have any more super seniors, COVID seniors. It's kind of a fresher team. But we've been really working hard in the gym, and we're going to be a really fun team to watch. We've been competing really, really hard. So I think we are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, some room for some leaders, perhaps, Mia, with some of those COVID seniors gone. And,
yes.
Like, there's room for big personalities to take over. Mm-hmm. If so, who are they?
Honestly, I think we have a lot of big personalities on our team. There's just a lot of people in the running for it. And I think that there's still opportunities for people to step up. I don't know. I love it.
Someone might just wander into the Smithfield House, and they'll see a setter who's number 7 who has a Bauer on the back. Alex Bauer is the next Bauer with Eden now, which is fun. I did the math. They could have 18 straight years if it all works out. But anyways, it's year 6 of Bowers, which is fun. How is Alex doing as a freshman setter who may be the starter? We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, no, Alex has come in here with so much confidence. She's so fun on the court. She's so good at communicating, and I think she's just going to have an amazing career, and I'm excited to see her competing coming up tomorrow. So, yeah.
Do you ever look over there? She has red hair, so it's a little different than Whitney. But do you ever look over there and go, oh, it's not as different as it was I thought it'd be. It's another Bauer who's number 7 who's lefty who's feisty.
Sometimes they do have different personalities, so
how so?
It is a little different. Alex, I feel like you can see her more personality a little bit more. Like, she's a little bit more bubbly. Not anything against Whitney, but
Whitney's a bulldog.
Exactly, she's a bulldog. Not saying that Alex isn't, but it's just a little different. But I love playing with Alex. She's so much fun.
We heard from Coach Olmstead that each of you individually have been working on your own games to get better, and she feels like all of you have taken significant steps forward. So, a question for both of you, but Mia, how do you feel like you have improved the most as an individual player?
Yeah, it definitely is different coming in as a freshman, but I feel like in that year I learned a lot, and I was able to really grow my toolbox a lot. Coming in, I didn't really have a lot of range, but I was able to learn so much from the people, like the seniors above me, and just learn from them and from our coaching staff, and that helped me so much, just be able to grow that toolbox and to grow that confidence in myself.
Kate, same question for you. Where do you feel like you improved the most as an individual?
Yeah, I think a big thing is range. Hitting line, sharp cross, deep court. Those have been really good for me this off season. I worked a lot on my serve, which has been really helpful, and then blocking. Blocking has been really huge for me this off season. It's been one of my main focuses, and I'm excited to see that.
You guys are right next to each other in the rotation.
Yeah.
What's that relationship like? Because you've got to trust each other that, hey, you're not going to step on my foot when I'm landing and whatnot. How does that work, Mia?
Yeah, it works very well. I love blocking with Kate. I trust her so much, and we've been working really hard during this offseason just to get that connection together, and I feel like it's grown a lot. So.
Would you rather have a big stuff or a big kill? What do you think, Kate
and Mia? That's a good question. I think stuffs bring a lot of energy.
In the Smithfield House,
yeah.
It's wild.
For some reason, yeah, that's typically the answer we get from volleyball players. For some reason, like denying someone something as opposed to just dominating offense. I don't know what it is, Mia, but a big stuff is a big deal.
No, I agree. I think you're right because it is different. Like denying someone something, I don't know. It kind of feels good.
You tried hard, but no.
Exactly.
See, and in my years covering volleyball, I know Jeremy is the very talented voice of BYU.
Yeah, hey, you did 2018, bro. That was a magical year.
Did a lot of volleyball.
Time. Yeah.
You have such good manners. Even after big plays like that, you turn around and yell, and sometimes I'm like, I just want you to yell in an opponent's face. But that's not
you guys
part
would
of,
never.
Is that not part of volleyball? Is it just like part of the culture where you celebrate with your team and you don't talk trash to the other players?
Yeah, for us, I think it's part of our culture. We work really hard here to just create a very good culture that represents us well and represents the church well and just our team well. And I think that other schools maybe might think that that's a good thing to do, but we personally like to just keep it classy, keep it nice, and we like to just celebrate our teammates and our team.
That's a great answer.
That's a great answer.
A fantastic answer.
You're a sophomore now, seasoned veteran.
I saw teams do it to BYU. I'm maybe a bad person for wanting you to give it back a little bit, but you keep it classy.
Men's team, Grand Canyon, they chat.
Oh, yeah.
They would chat. That, UCLA used to a little more. That was fun. But, okay, Monday, Karch Karai showed up at practice.
Yeah.
What was that like?
We were not expecting him to be there. We all were like getting ready to warm up, and then we're like, wait, who's that on the side of the court? And it was Karch Karai, and we're like, why is Karch Karai here? We're like, okay, we gotta play good. but no, it was really cool to see him and hear a little bit from him, get a little advice from him, but yeah, really cool.
What'd he say?
He was just like, enjoy the process. Don't hit to zone six, a couple other things, but
very specific.
Yeah, he was just excited for us, excited for our season, and he just told us to just enjoy the process.
And the connection there, which we talked about at the top of the broadcast, is pretty cool. Karch Karai is coached by Heather and Sean's dad, Rick, in high school, and they go way back. Heather's been in the system as a coach with the U21 team and national collegiate team, which you've been on, Kate. So pretty cool, because he's not just the GOAT. He's the USA indoor women's team coach. Yeah. Gold in Tokyo, silver in Paris. What can you take away, Mia, from a guy like Karch Karai showing up on a Monday? Because the men's basketball team doesn't have just Michael Jordan wandering, but you guys had that.
He's that level.
It's just so amazing that we get to have that experience. I'll remember that for the rest of my life, because it's just different. He's my celebrity, you know? I look up to that guy. He's so cool. And we were just able to learn so much from him and take so much from him. And he was able to talk to our team and just give us a little bit of helpful tips and tricks. And I think that we can really take that far.
Okay, this tournament this weekend. You know, if the average BYU fan looks at Southeastern, Louisiana, Fairfield, and High Point, they may not know that all three won their league. Like, these are three quality teams, Kate, that are coming in to open the season.
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into three good games?
Yeah, no, we're excited. We don't want to underestimate anybody. We're ready to fight every game. And so I think we have been really competing and really, really working hard. And we're extremely excited to show off those skills and show those team what we got.
I know that Jerem will reference that you're both all Big 12 preseason performers. So leave that to him. He'll be your hype guy. We appreciate you hanging out with us and spending some time with us.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Coming in.
Let's give you some BYU Sports Station karma to perform well over the weekend.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, check out Kate, Mia, and the gang tomorrow. Again, Bauer, perhaps. Again, et cetera. It's going to be fun. Tomorrow, starting at 2 Eastern on ESPN Plus against Southeastern Louisiana. Then at 9 Eastern against Fairfield. Then Saturday night against High Point, all on ESPN Plus.
After the break, what result against Southern Illinois would make you feel like BYU football is clearly better than they were last year? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation's on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps, or listen to the pod, subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day, and a ton of you are answering this, it's loaded. What result against Southern Illinois would make you feel like BYU football is clearly better than they were last year? At Alex Reynolds 58 on X says, a big win, 30-plus points.
I like it.
And about 7 yards of carry on offense
it.
Would be a great sign.
That's it? Just Tyler Algier, Luke Staley levels of yards per carry?
Caleb Barba on Instagram says, putting up 56 points.
Give it to me.
There needs to be at least 14 points scored in each quarter by BYU. That would qualify as a statement.
BYU has not scored double digits in each quarter since North Alabama 2020?
Yeah. The Lions of North Alabama. Yeah.
Randomly, that came to me from the game.
Okay. At the _ Greg Ladon. Oh, that one just went away. Okay. At Blue Goggles on
X. Deleted.
Our elite voice today presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from at Blue Goggles on X says, yeah. 40-10 win. I want backups in the fourth quarter. Send the Salukis home with an L and a goodie bag, of course.
Yeah, they'll hand out ice cream and the whole thing.
Win by 30 and score 40?
Good enough.
Okay.
Good enough?
Does that make a statement? We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Well, statement to who? We'll discuss. That's part of it. Like, to the fans, to you and I, to the nation. What are we talking about?
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Okay, BYU is an R1 research institution now. So I expect that Pac-12 invite to finally come. Oh, wait. So according to the standards by the, Carnegie Classification of Institutions of Higher Education, BYU now qualifies to be an R1 research institution because they give out enough doctorates. And they have the enough money in annual research. That was like a knock by some in the past on BYU academically. Like, Oh, well,
you're not a research institution.
Someone important told me, it's not a big deal. We haven't changed what we're doing, but like we're still the same school, but
yes.
Qualifications were adjusted a little bit. But I think it's a big deal. I'm excited that BYU's an R1, getting to med school, Power 4 school. Kevin Young's here from the NBA. Things are happening in Provo,
yes.
Baby.
Throwing the Simmons
R1.
Center. Throwing the Simmons Center for Cancer Research.
Absolutely.
Which continues to grow.
Olympians.
Come on.
To Provo.
Yes. I want that t-shirt so bad.
Let's make it.
Our thanks to today's guests, Keanu Hill and Kate Pryor and Mia Lee from Women's Volleyball.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
No time today. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to our good buddy, Jan Jorgensen. See you tomorrow on Game Day Eve. Go Cougs!
Oh.